Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
According to police, the three were on an early morning joyride after staying up over 24 hours, while some members of the Ozzy Osbourne band slept in their tour bus parked next to the house. The other three buzzed overhead, circling the bus three times. On the fourth time, they didn't make it.
The plane had been flying treetop level roughly three times. And then after the fourth pass, he tipped the bus on the opposite side, and then it went over the top of the bus, the plane did, and hit a pine tree in the front yard. And after it hit the pine tree, it nosedived into the home.
The home then burst into flames and killed were the band's lead guitarist, hairdresser, and bus driver, 36-year-old Andrew Eichock, who was also the plane's pilot. They were flying in a Beechcraft Bonanza like this one. No one was injured in the home, which is reportedly owned by country music singer Jerry Calhoun. The band was on a tour, which included a concert this weekend at the T-Bowl. Police say the band's bus driver lived nearby and brought the band here for a brief stop before continuing on. Near Leesburg, Marty Salt, Channel 9, Eyewitness News.
You know, I finally found a beer I can respect. Light beer from Miller. It tastes great. But what I really like is it's less filling. Light has one-third less calories than their regular beer. I tell you, I gotta watch myself. This is a tough place. Well, this place is so tough, the hat checker's name is Dominic. In a place like this, I gotta move fast. I can't afford to get filled up. I tell you, I don't get no respect.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Hey, this is Brian Damage from Kicks and Rhino Bucket, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jess.
Hey, everybody, this is Kasim Sultan, a very, very famous bass player, and you are listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tommy Florio and Jeff Talinsky.
Hey, what's that? Mark Gutscoff and Trickster hanging out my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom, right here on Hard Rock and Sports. You listen, crank it up.
Hi, this is Mark Brenner, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on the Hard Rock and Sports Radio Show.
Hey, this is Tommy John. You're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hey, everybody. This is Ross the Boss, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hi, this is Randy Jackson at Zebra, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hey, sports fans, this is Punky Meadows from Angel, and my new solo album, Punky Meadows Fallen Angel. You're listening to Hard Rock Sports Radio Show with Tommy and Jeff.
There you go.
Don't miss it.
Hey, this is Big George Foreman, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sport. Don't you change.
Hi out there, this is Andy Parker from UFO, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tommy and Jeff.
Do you actually play all these, or?
Well, I play them, and I cherish them.
Mm-hmm.
This is at the top of the heap right here. There's no question about it. Look at the flame on that one.
Yes.
Look, I mean, it's quite unbelievable.
With the players.
Come on, live, direct from hell, final.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And thank you guys for joining us on March the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2022. And it is actually light out at this point, and that means we are heading into the good times. That's right. I'm used to starting this show in the pitch dark, but we got a little light outside, and it's only going to get lighter, and the weather's getting warmer after a couple of really cold days this week, especially Monday. But maybe we'll settle into some 50s and 60s. Today was in the 70s. But anyway, listen, I hope your week's been good. It's been interesting for me. It's tiresome. Lots of stuff going on in the personal life. We got house renovations almost done. We're closing in on it. I can see the end of the end zone, so to speak. I'm on the 5-yard line to finish. So thank God for that. Work's busy. Thank God for that. Not much of a social life. We haven't had one, but what the hell? Maybe we'll get one in the next couple of months. So, but for now, we're Thursday night. We're here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We got one guest tonight. We had an interesting guest last week. This week we got some of the members, all the members of the band True Grit. They're a band based out of Las Vegas. They'll be joining Jeff and I about 7:45. In the meantime, there's plenty to talk about this week. No shortage of sports and music topics. So we'll get to all of that in the next few seconds. My dad's going to pop up. I see him already there. But no time like the better to get this show started, and there's only one way that I know how to get the Hard Rock and Sports Show started in 2022, and that's by bringing on my dear friend, the backbone of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, the sexiest man in his house, and a hell of a bass player, my man, Jeff Towinski. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Just kicking off the show, brother. Just kicking off the show. Show number 533 right now.
Wow.
Yep. We're
that's a lot of shows.
Dude, it's a lot of shows. And you know, last week we had we always goof around about who's listening in different countries, and we actually had a guest. We had somebody pop up from Liberia.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. So you know, when we go to those 1% and 1%, I guess there is somebody huddled under in a tent someplace, or in a cave, or
under
a lion skin someplace, and they're actually listening to the Hard Rock and Sports Show. So. Hell, what the hell?
You got to wonder, like, while they were watching, did a leopard come in their house or something? You don't know. No. Look at that.
The leopard could be a pet, for all we know. We don't know. It could be tomorrow night's dinner. We have no idea.
Well, I don't know about dinner. They could be dinner tomorrow night.
That's very true. But, Jeff, let's get this show kicked off like we always do each Thursday night when we crank it up. And when we do that, I ask you the magic words. Jeff, how was your week?
Long week, but
yeah.
It's over, thank God.
It's over, so you got a couple of days off tomorrow, normal couple of days off?
Yeah, banking, breakfast, naps, stuff like that.
Sounds good. That's good. We got more band stuff. I heard another show's been launched for the Deceiver Band in June, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
Uh-oh.
Let's play that one day at a time.
One day, one practice
yeah.
at a time. All right, listen.
We're talking now. Saturday will be 2 weeks since we've seen one another.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So not a good thing. Well, listen.
About shows too much.
Well, you know, you have the gig and you get a little time away from each other. It kind of makes the heart grow fonder type of thing.
Well, you know, normally when people go on tours that last for 3 years, they may do that. Yeah, one show. I don't know.
You're saying back to nose to the grindstone, right back at it type of thing?
I believe that should be what we do, you know?
Okay, well, you know, let's see. Maybe this band's had a different strategy. We'll see how. And then Yeah, you got the big show coming up in May for with 25 Missions, which is good. So good for you. Lots of good stuff happening in the music field for my man Jeff.
Let's see what happens.
One day
it didn't happen until it happens.
That is very true. So good for you. But in the meantime, we got a couple hours of sports and music talk. No shortage of stuff in the what we call the off season in football, Jeff. The carousel spins, so many different things to get to tonight. We'll talk about your old coach, Todd Bowles, getting another shot at a title. We'll get to that. We'll talk about
that. Right. If you think they're going to win the title with Todd Bowles.
Well, we'll get to that. I do want to get some non-sports and music conversation in, because I do want to bring up the Chris Rock, Will Smith situation. So I want to get that in there tonight. I want to talk about Disney a little bit. Don't know if you know, Disney sparked a little outrage this week. I want to get that in on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Disgusting.
Yep. So we're going to talk about that. We got a little Rangers. Julius Randle says, the rumors he wants out. He comes out today and says, oh, that's not the case. We got, let's see what else is on my list. The Rangers playing great hockey. The Browns may go into the season with this century's version of Montana and Young, with keeping Baker Mayfield. I'll see how Jeff feels about that. To the NFL has a new overtime rule. I'm definitely looking forward to Jeff's comments on that. We'll talk about the Panthers, the favorites to win the Super Bowl. The Scorpions play MSG. We'll talk about that. Taylor Hawkins passes away. We'll get to that tonight. New MSG album, Tyreek Hill. Deshaun Watson has his press conference. John Mara, Bruce Arians, the Rams, and their, I don't know how to keep their salary cap in play, and anything else that may pop up during the show, Jeff. And like I said, we had the band True Grit popping up at about 7:45 for about a 5-minute interview, because Sam got me some information. Looking forward to talking to those guys. Seemed like an interesting band, Jeff.
All righty.
So let's kick off the show. My dad's hanging in there. Let's get my dad on early. Let's see what he's got to say, and then we'll get right into all the festivities. Are you ready?
Yep.
And let's see. How do I do that again? Oh, yeah, here we go. I'm like lost. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. What's going on? What's the word, Dad?
No, not much. I watched a few of the games, and mm-hmm. I think the Yankees were in a lot of trouble.
Okay, why do you think that?
Well, their pitching's terrible. Severino's mm-hmm. down again.
He did throw a bullpen session today and said that he had did not feel any aches and pains.
I know, but it's your arm mm-hmm. doesn't hurt for no reason.
I got you.
He's constantly hurt, and I don't know. I look at that team and there's nothing.
Well, I disagree, Dad.
What do you think you're
going to
get out of cold this year?
Dad, you know what? He had 30 starts last year. He was second in the Cy Young. I think you're going to get exactly the same season from Gerrit Cole. Is he going to win 25 games? No. Is he going to win 17, 18? Yeah. This team will win 95 games, 94 games, because they can hit the crap out of the ball, but they'll lose in the playoffs because it's the same old team. It's the same. It's no different than
right.
you were last year. Think about it. Dad. What's different from last year with this team? They won 92 games last year.
Their pitching is. It's undependable. There's nobody Cole was brought up here to be a stopper, and to win the big game.
Yeah,
it really hasn't showed me. I don't know.
I agree
you
with you,
Dad. Right.
Dad, I think you're 100% right. Cole was brought here to win 22 games this season, get to the postseason, and win those big games, and he hasn't done it. And I agree with you. But I'll say, again, the Yankees will find a way to win 90-something games. They'll get to the playoffs, whether it's a wild card. Maybe they'll win the division. I doubt it. I don't think they're the best team in that division. But, okay, they'll get to the playoffs, and they'll probably lose because Cole will go into Boston or Tampa, and he'll get beat. And the problem with this team is going to be the same as it's been for the last 4 or 5 years. They're a good regular season team, but when you get in the playoffs, They strike out too much, and they don't come up with a big hit. So
they don't have the pitching for the playoffs either.
I agree. I'm not arguing. The Yankees will still win.
During the year, you
can
get away with it. I just think, I will see what happens. But you're giving them 95. I'll be honest. I think that's a lot. For some reason, this team just looks like, you have too many, God knows, you have too many strikeouts.
But they had it last year too, and what you got to hope is that at the end of the day, Rizzo and Gallo will be better than Andujar and Voit were last year before the Yankees got them. And I like what I've seen out of Gallo so far this year. He's hit well. He's still gonna strike out a lot. He's a damn good outfielder, and I like Rizzo at first base. So I think their lineup is good. I like Donaldson at third. I think he's gonna hit. The question becomes, and you're 100% right, when you get to the playoffs and you need a big hit, who's not going to strike out in a big spot? That's the question, and that hasn't changed.
And who's not going to get hurt? You got a third baseman that gets hurt. You got a center fielder that gets hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, the two corners, the left fielder and the right fielder, Judge, I figure he's going to give you a decent year.
Yeah.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the other guy, I don't know. You know, last year he had a great year.
Yeah.
Going to go back to back.
I don't know. The good thing is they don't have to rely on Hicks if he goes down. And if Donaldson goes down, then LeMahieu plays third base every day. And, you live with it. I'm not saying but think about it. Last year, they had a ton of injuries last year. They still wound up winning 92 games. They still made the playoffs. I got beat in the first round in the play-in game. So I think you're right now, as it's going, I think if you look at the same type of season, unless they make a move for a pitcher mid-season, depending on where they are. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
The catcher, I think they can get away with what they got for a catcher.
Yes. Yeah, I like Hayashioka.
I'm scared for third base. For some reason, I don't see this guy, Donaldson, playing.
Donaldson's a good player. Yeah, he's got to stay healthy.
He's a good, damn good player.
Yeah, again, doesn't have to be the man here. Maybe he doesn't have to play every day. Maybe he can DH a little bit more. You know, they got LeMahieu. They're going to get him some time. So maybe you work him through the season and you get a hear out of him. The only thing you can't account for is injury. So who knows who's going to get hurt, who's going to play well. But if you look at position by position, it's still a good team for the regular season. They'll get 90-plus wins. I think it's 95, but I could be off on that.
I just don't, because I'm watching them, and I'm more impressed with some of the kids coming out of the farm system.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good sign. They could trade. We had some guys to trade. I think this kid Volpe's played well. Some of the pitches. Clark Schmidt's look pretty good, but he just needs to stay healthy. So there's some stuff to like about it. But, again, the pitch is going to come down to Cole, Montgomery, and Severino. And then after that, you have Cortez, you got Taillon, you got a couple of guys. They'll get through the season. And like I said, there's enough bad teams out there. They'll win 90-something, maybe come in second in their division.
I think a lot of people are getting this. I mean, from what I'm understanding, they're not even sold out yet on opening day.
No, that's there's still 4,000 seats left. There's 4,000 seats left for opening day.
That's tough, Boston.
I agree with that. But Jeff, it's early April. The weather's still a little chilly. People are hurting for money. Jeff, do you take any stock in the fact that the Yankees haven't sold out opening day against Boston?
I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of different things. I don't think there's a ton of people that are totally over the whole COVID thing.
Yep.
That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Second, I think that the price of tickets and going to a game is so expensive that a lot of people don't want to waste the money right now.
Sure.
I think that has a lot to do with it. And when millionaires fight and squabble, people get offended.
I agree 100%. And I also think that they announced today, I think there's 15% of Yankee games will not be on the YES Network or Channel 11. It's going to be on. Now it's all going to be free.
That's going to be the next thing.
But it's all free. But you got to go searching. So you want to watch a Yankee game on a Friday night. Sometimes you got to find it on Apple TV. If you want to watch on a Sunday night, you got to find the Peacock Network, which are all free.
And you got to pay for it.
No. These are all free. These are free. They're right now.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got to go looking for it. So the games will be free for now. Eventually, you'll be paying for it. There's no doubt.
Apple,
yeah,
Apple from iPhone TV.
Yeah,
that's not free.
There's an Apple. There's a version of it. Apple Plus.
You got to pay for Apple.
No, I'm telling you, there's a version. I'm almost positive. Now again, maybe.
I have an iPhone, and when I got the iPhone, one of the things they said is that I could have signed up for Apple TV free for 3 months. Then I would have got hit with like $6 a month. So you got to pay for Apple TV. There's no free Apple TV.
I'll check on it, but I'm almost positive whatever streamed through Apple this version is, it's free this year to watch baseball games. So they're just trying
to draw people.
Listen, they're doing it with Netflix now. Netflix is going to charge. Used to be you can have five people on your account. So one person has a $10 account or whatever they charge you, and then everybody you can have four of the people on it for free. Now, I think starting in the near future, everybody who's on your account has to pay $8.99. So to get a discount.
I don't watch it anyway. So
I don't do a lot of Netflix. I watch a lot of Amazon, which comes with Amazon Prime, which comes with if you have an Amazon Prime account, the TV comes with it for free. So I watch a lot of documentaries and stuff on that. So, but they're all headed that way. I mean, I can have a bunch of people on my Amazon account. It's not a problem. Right now, but eventually they're all going to go to pay.
So you think you're going to get rid of cable and save money?
Yeah,
you're going to get it one way or another.
Oh, absolutely. So, for me, live sports is hard to find on all these services. I know they say it's out there, it's not all out there, and even some of that stuff when you get it, you don't get the local game. So if you were looking for a Ranger game on whatever streaming service it's on, they blocked them out in the New York area. So either way, you're screwed. So it is what it is. But again, Dad, you're gonna make it tougher. Hopefully, the product is so good, you're gonna want to go searching for it. But
searching for it is one thing. Paying for it is something. I never thought in my life that I would pay this much money for cable, and it's outrageous what they did. I remember when I first saw it; it was in a newspaper, and they made it to be the best thing since the wheel. And anything that was at Madison Square Garden, whether it was a concert, a circus, a basketball, Ranger game, anything in the garden was free. I mean, whatever you bought, that you'd get the whole package.
Yep.
Now, and then there was going to be no commercials. And you could kiss that goodbye. It's a shame. It really is.
Well, how to make the money. Thanks, Pops.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good night. And Tommy, I'll probably see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
You got it, Pops. I'll let the wife. If there's any problem with that, I'll call you. You got it.
Okay, good enough. Bye-bye.
See you, Pop.
Good night, Mr. Blue.
That's my dad. Checks in every week with us. Always good to have him on. We'll get back to the show. So all the sports are headed that way. I think the Thursday night football package, I believe, is now on Amazon. Or is it Sunday night? I think it's Thursday night. Thursday night's on Amazon. Sunday night, I think some of those games are going to be on Peacock at some point. I got to look it up. But, they're all headed to streamers. Everybody's going to make every buck. I mean, when is it enough? Here's the question I got to ask. When is it enough for these teams? I mean, they were talking to some guy yesterday who has, like, medium priced. I think it's like his games are $325 a ticket, the seats he has for the Nets, right? So they sent him out the playoff package. So I don't know.
First of all, that's medium price.
Yes.
For a sporting event,
yes.
$325
yes.
a ticket.
Yeah, because down low it's like $1,000. Up in the bleachers is like $90. So it's like $300 is like mid bowl probably. So So he got sent his. I don't know how many tickets he's got. If he had two, if he had four, I didn't do the math. I'll assume he had four seats. So to buy the entire package for the playoffs, because there's increases for the playoffs, and depending on which round it is, to buy the entire thing, Jeff, sit down. You sitting down yet?
I'm going to take a guess.
Go, yeah. So think about this. So think about it. It's four rounds. You can have up to four games per round, depending on if you're the home or the
seating.
Right, Dad. So How much do you think four seats to Nets playoff games, to figure 16 games?
Now, real quick, just let's see if you know, because this would make a difference in figuring this out. Does that include anything, any other kind of package with those tickets, parking?
I don't believe so. I believe it's just the seats.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb, $12,000.
You're not even close.
Really?
If you times that by five, you wouldn't even be close. $80,000.
No.
Jeff.
Where are the seats?
Again, they're mid-level in this, the Barclays Center.
So somebody wants you to spend mid-level seats, all right, figuring there's 100, 200, 300 seatings.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Right? So 200 level seatings. It'll be $80,000 for four rounds of the playoffs. At best, you're getting four games.
16 so games.
16 games. If they brought every series to seven,
so it's 20 grand for one seat for 16 games.
My God.
So I think he said the first round of the playoffs was, I think, 700 a seat. The next round of the playoffs was like 1600 a seat. I think again 20-something hundred for the next round, and then the championship round was like $3,000 or $4,000. Per seat. Yeah, it was. I'm saying to myself, if I was a huge sports fan, and I am a pretty big sports fan, and I had the money, would I ever give $80,000 for four seats, or $20,000 for one seat for 16 games? And I said, I couldn't do it. I couldn't even think of a scenario where I went, well, this is like the last time I'll ever get to see my team. I can't think of a rational reason that I would fork over that kind of money, Jeff. I think it's just...
But there is no rational reason, Tom. There is absolutely, positively no rational reason under the sun for spending that kind of money on sporting tickets on any kind of event.
Yeah.
Not just sporting, any kind of event.
Yeah. I think I told you this. I'm not sure if I ever told you, but when we went to see, Sabbath in Long Island, I don't even remember what the seats cost. That doesn't matter. But there was an opportunity to do one of those meet and greet things. And I remember sitting there just trying to justify spending, I want to say it was $900 a seat. It was also the backstage stuff. You get to talk to Ozzy. And I was like this close. I was like, how many times were we? And I chickened out and said, I just can't for the life of me sit there and legitimize that I'm going to spend, you know, $2,000 essentially for us to go backstage for 15 minutes. You know, we get all these packages. We get little better seats, blah, 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 blah. Yes, Leonard, thank you very much. The seats are usually a little league of free. And the hot dogs are pretty good if they're still cooking them. But then I look, and Jeff, you look at these games in the playoffs, and they're packed. So somebody's going. I don't know who it is, but somebody's going to these games.
I don't know. And imagine the scalp prices.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But if they're getting $2,600 face value, what are you getting for scalp tickets?
God only knows, too.
Yeah, so that's why most of these seats in the playoffs are usually bought out by corporations, and then they're given away to either employees or people they're trying to do business with. You know, that's why when you get to the playoffs, most of the time, these are not the guys who've been sitting in the seat all year.
No, of course not.
You know?
Of course not. They're definitely, they never are, hardly ever.
Don't ever send me messages like that again, please.
Hey, listen, it's got to be said.
Okay, go ahead.
Better to say it there.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably could have got you suspended again from Facebook. By the way, tell everybody, why did you get suspended from Facebook again?
Because Mark Zuckerberg or Fuckenberg, whatever his name is a jerk-off. Okay, I was able to actually, they knew they were wrong.
Uh-huh.
And my last three offenses were all basically on the same thing, same time.
Okay.
That they took as bodily threats made from me to somebody else.
You were making bodily threats?
I wasn't.
I know you weren't.
First of all three comments were bodily threats. But that were fooling around amongst people that I know.
Right.
You know, one was one day I said about retiring, and somebody said, oh, you're going to stay there forever. And I was like, listen, I will push my mother to the side if I had to go. You know what I mean? And I'll push you down, too. It's a joke.
Right.
That's how they took it. Next thing you know, you are banned.
Come on.
Yeah, this time, Will Smith got up, walked over to Chris Rock and slapped him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Rock hardly moved in my eyes.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I says, and he just stood there and took it. I says, I wouldn't have stood there taking it. And somebody said something, and I was like, you know, like somebody I know fooling around, they're like, well, I'd like to hit you and see what happens. So I was like, go ahead and try. So come on and try. And next thing you know, bang. You're gone for 7 days. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's frightening. It really is frightening. What you know, it's frightening. Who's sitting in some room someplace in their parents' basement reading these things and going, all right, Jeff's out. He's going to sit down for 2 weeks. You know, like, who are these people?
Then for the first time in all the times that I ended up getting nailed or something. They turned around and they offered me arbitration on it.
Really?
Third party, yeah. Yeah, I filled out what I had to fill out.
Did you need an attorney to be present with you? I could have stood up for you. I could have been your attorney.
I went in it alone.
You went at it alone?
Yeah.
You
finish it alone.
You know what they say? A fool who's somebody who's his own attorney is a fool. That's all I can tell you.
Hell, and look who you're talking about. Probably been my own attorney for 55 years.
That's very true. Coming up on 56, my brother. Coming up. It's coming.
Yeah.
You don't seem so excited about this birthday. I got to be honest with you.
What's that?
You're not so excited about this birthday. How come?
Well, because I don't know what's going to happen for my birthday.
That's true.
And what I mean by that, it's like, you know, you got to worry about, you know, is World War III going to start because Biden opens his mouth? You know, not because he said planes or anything over any place, just because he stands in front of a microphone and says, well, we got to live under the threat of nukes so close to my birthday.
That's true.
Okay. They free us from the grips of the coronavirus.
Uh-huh.
What do? Here comes another variant.
Oh, please. Yeah.
So those are two things right there that could ruin the birthday party almost instantly.
Well, I got a surprise for you. We might have a special, special guest for your birthday.
Okay,
I'm going to give you a little peek into your special birthday gift. Hold on.
Give me a peek?
Yep.
Fuck you, piece of shit! Oh, man, that would be great.
that's my dream for your birthday, Jeff. That is my dream. So
listen, that's everybody's dream for my birthday. Yeah. So talk to him for 5 minutes. Some of the stuff he posts on social media has got to be some of the funniest shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Please tell me he believes everything he's posted.
I can only dream that that is true. I can only dream that that is true. Hard Rock Sports, Jeff and Tom goofing away here a little bit, talking about Jeff's Facebook jail. So, I mean, tell me about the arbitration process. I'm fascinated. Do you meet with Mark Zuckerberg? Does he come to you personally? How does that work, Jeff?
Well, did they send a thing via email that you fill out, and they tell you that it's going to a third party,
mm-hmm.
and you fill it out, and then I guess they made the decision instantly.
Oh, really?
And all of a sudden, there was like, I went back on to check to see what was going on, because they said that we don't get to all of them. And the next thing you know, I was bang, down to 2 days. So, I mean, evidently, you can fight and argue with some people left and right.
Uh-huh.
You can fight and argue politics. You can fight and argue anything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But once you threaten to hit somebody, that's it. That's it.
Scary.
Yeah. It's a shame. It is a fucking shame.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of crazy. You know what? Let's get to some of the crazy stuff. I don't know. Let's do the Will Smith stuff. I want to hold the Disney stuff till after our guest, and then we got plenty of sports and music for you guys tonight. Just want to kind of change it up a little bit. It's getting that time of year where not a hell of a lot to talk about sports and music-wise, and even basketball and hockey are in the kind of the wind-down phases. You know, hockey's still got another month to go before the season's over. It's going to finish. Playoffs don't start in hockey until May 2nd. Scary.
They usually would start in April.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this year they had a...
The playoffs themselves would be over by June, a long process.
Correct, yes. And I don't know if they sped up. This year they had a couple weeks off, a little bit of a corona break, and then they had a mid-season two-week break for the Olympics that they were supposed to play at, which they did not, the pros did not go to, any of the active pros. So, yeah, let's talk about the Chris Rock thing just a little bit. We got a guest coming up in a few minutes. I don't watch the Oscars. Didn't even know they were on, to be honest with you. Woke up in the morning, saw the thing, and of course the first thing you think of is, oh, it's fake, it's phony. You know, Will Smith's not running on stage and slapping Chris Rock like a bitch. Then as you read it, you see it, and what convinced me, and there was a lot of people who thought it was phony, but to me, no matter, once he started cursing from his seat after the slap, you knew it had to be real.
Yeah, if it was fake, they took it a completely completely wrong way.
Yes,
I feel.
Yeah, again, now things have come out since then. You know, because I said that. I didn't really care about either guy. To me, this is just the woke mob finally going after each other. You know, these are just bunch of actors in a room. Who finally know, but. The thing I thought was funny was, like 2 days later, they were interviewing people like Amy Schumer, the comedian, Wanda Sykes, the comedian actor, and they're going, "I'm so traumatized by this. I can't sleep at night." And I'm going, "Are you freaking kidding me? Are you that shallow in your life that Will Smith slapping Chris Rock has traumatized you?"
Well, I got to admit, I'm a little traumatized myself, and I'll explain why.
Oh, please.
Okay. You get Will Smith,
damn,
and you had Will Smith train for the part of Muhammad Ali.
Correct.
One of the greatest heavyweight boxers of our time. Right?
No argument there, Jeff. No argument. And Will Smith did a really nice job as Ali. I thought he looked the part. I thought he looked like a professional boxer.
I'm sure he did. And he has that Ali build.
Yep.
Ali may be a little bit brawnier than him, but... You know, he's tall and lanky, and mm-hmm. so was kind of Ali at the point. He wasn't as big as some of these guys today. But you know what? Is that the best fucking punch that fucking Will Smith could throw?
Yeah.
Chris Rock is a 57-year-old man.
Yeah.
Almost 58 years old. His head barely fucking moved.
Yeah.
Okay? You're telling me that this is the best that can happen? You get up, walk across the stage... Because you were laughing at it seconds before that.
Yeah, well, the wife got there it is.
Must have said, "You need to take care of this."
Yes.
Okay, or I'm going home with somebody else after the Oscars.
Which she was probably going to do anyway. But
yeah, really. And then went and fucking barely fucking knocked the lint off this man's chin. Are you serious?
Yeah. Then he refused to leave. They came up to him, to Will Smith afterwards, and asked him to please leave. And he refused. Now, I don't want to take this to a race thing, but I got to do a little bit, Jeff. I got to give you one. What if...
I think you know which way you're going to go, but go ahead, please.
Yeah, Jeff, if that was Mel Gibson or
Russell Crowe
instead of Will Smith...
One more.
Go ahead.
Johnny Knoxville.
If there's anybody else beside Will Smith, and the guy happened to be of a different color, do you think it would have been handled differently?
Oh, God. The marching that would have been done around the nation would have been unbelievable, depending on who threw the punch, of course.
Right. But you know, if it's
it was a white announcer,
uh-huh.
and the punch was thrown by Will Smith.
Okay.
Okay. It would have been that we've finally woken up. We're not taking no more. We're standing up for ourselves. With all the marching, all of the protests, they've all culminated to this.
Mm-hmm.
We stood up and we knocked the man out. We're now level. We're on level playing ground.
Okay.
Okay, right. Sure. Right. If it was a white guy that decked
yes.
for them, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Business, there wouldn't be a fucking Models for Miles. CVS would be nothing but a pile of ashes.
Yes, and Best Buy would have been all out of TVs, and air conditioners, because we all know, Jeff, in times of strife and pressure, TVs, free TVs are needed for everybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, we don't live under that burden.
No.
And we don't understand what it's like to be slighted for centuries as a race. And the only thing that'll make you feel better at that point in time is a new 75-inch color TV.
Free color TV.
Free, free.
It's got to be free.
Because if there was anybody at the register, they would try to get it free anyway.
Absolutely, Jeff. So I thought that was an interesting part. I also thought it was interesting that I think it was Bradley Cooper and somebody else, maybe it was Denzel Washington, I'm not sure, they used the word consoling. Will Smith, and I said they should have been patting him down and putting the cuffs on him. This is consoling.
Unless Will Smith was sitting there
mm-hmm.
going completely off on himself.
Yeah.
Because he just flushed his fucking career down the toilet, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. And that they're like, all right, listen, don't kill yourself. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Okay. If they end, not for nothing, you want him out of there? He assaulted somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
He assaulted somebody on live TV. You get the cops. You just go over to him. Are you coming? No, we're coming out to get you. That's it. And you just go over there and you grab him and you take him off the stage. That's it.
Well, I think they were asked, Chris Rock was asked if he wanted to press charges, and he declined to press charges. Now, maybe Leonard's still on there, can answer this for me. Leonard, do the cops need Chris Rock to file a report? Can they arrest him based on what was basically seen by millions of people? Can he be arrested and tried for that without Chris Rock pressing charges? I'm curious. If you're out there, Leonard, let me know what you think of that one. I'm not sure the answer.
I was just going to ask that question, but not the question you asked. But what would have happened if you were given the award,
mm-hmm.
and I got up and decided to slap you in the face? One, I don't think that you would have stood there like Chris Rock and just let me walk away.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got to stop you right there for half a second. I'm curious, though, because you know what? I've been in situations where later on you go, I really should have did. And then I think Chris Rock thought Will Smith was going to come up there and play with him, goof with him, you know, and I think at the end of the day, he was so surprised by the slap that I think it took him a second. I also think he's a punk, you know, and that he hit Chris Rock, that he's not a fighter. He's not looking to throw hands. But I think he was, I'm going to give him a little bit of play here, Jeff, and say that I think that he was just surprised by it. You don't buy that?
One, yeah, he was definitely surprised by it. Without a doubt, he was definitely surprised by it. But you want to know something? Somebody had to be in control in this situation.
Yeah.
And it's clear that Will Smith was not in control of the situation, not in control of himself.
Right.
Now, when Chris Rock got hit, Chris Rock fucking barely fucking moved his head. He looked more, if anything, it looked like he moved out of the way to lessen the blow, if anything. That's one thing that I saw. That's one thing. Okay? Second, when Will Smith did what he did, the way he walked over and everything else, what Will Smith should have done
mm-hmm.
was stand next to fucking Chris Rock
okay.
and explain to Chris Rock, let me explain to you, brother, why this is wrong. All right, because they could call one another brother all day long, no matter what's going on. Okay? And then explain, my wife doesn't like this. It's a tasteless joke. You hurt her feelings. You hurt this. You may look like a jerk off being Will Smith doing that, but you're going to make Chris Rock feel like a jerk off.
Yeah.
And then you could turn around and just say, why don't you do the right thing and apologize to my wife in front of everybody like you just ripped on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and realize exactly what the woman is going through. But then again, don't be like Will Smith and turn around and condone having an open marriage where your wife is fucking getting nailed by God knows how many other fucking people and you do nothing to stop that. But at one time, Demi Moore
mm-hmm.
was a big actress in this country.
Sure.
One of the biggest in Hollywood.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're comparing one of her biggest movies to the way that your wife looks right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to even say G.I. Jane 2, he wasn't saying it in an insulting way. He didn't turn around and say, oh, at least my wife don't look like a cancer victim.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he knew. I think he thought she actually shaved her head because that's what she wanted. And here's the thing. Let me ask you this question. If you go to one of those events and you know that for a good part of the night, the host is usually a comedian of some sort. There's a possibility of you getting a little shrapnel. Do you think at that point it's tasteless for the comedian to do that? Like, you know, some people are saying, well, Chris Rock should not have done that. Well, then why are you bringing up stand-up comedians to host these things or to be presenters? You know, should, if you're sitting in the audience, should you accept the shrapnel that comes with it? Or do you have a right to get pissed off if somebody rips you?
He was sitting in the first row.
Right.
He was sitting in the first row, okay? Second, you're 100% right. When a comedian hosts something and he's saying stuff, whether it's maybe he's talking off the cuff or what, we don't know, okay? But let's just assume that he was talking off the cuff while this was going on,
right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You said something that, you know what, if there's 10,000 people there, somebody's not going to like what he says at all the time.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to be offended by what he says. Somebody's going to be pissed off by what he says. So you said something about this woman's hair, okay? You compared her to Demi Moore, one of Demi Moore's biggest movies.
Sure.
I remember when Demi Moore went through that, all the training she did.
Sure.
And everything else because of the role she was playing and everybody that said all of this stuff about Demi Moore. And I was like, well, you know, all right. So you said that you didn't know. If he had turned around and he was like, I totally am sorry. Even if they cut the commercial, he came back. And he was like, listen, I was just informed of something, and I can't believe that I didn't notice. I apologize to Will and his wife for the comment I just made. I was wrong. I did not know the condition she was suffering from. My ignorance. I'm sorry. I want to make a donation to that charity, to whatever. Do something. You could have fixed that. 2 seconds.
Sure.
Without Will Smith getting stupid.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
It's just total stupidity.
Well, we're going to get back to this. We got some Disney stuff. We got a lot of football. We got some music stuff we're going to get to all in the near future. But our guest is up on the line, and I'm looking to get him on here now. But, again, guys, remember, Hard Rockin' Sports is here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Be on the lookout. We got our big NFL draft show coming up. That's right. The NFL draft is coming up on April 27th, and Jeff and I will be on the air like we always are for the first round. We'll stay as long as we're up. Well, we haven't figured out if we're doing this in person or Jeff and I will be on the computer like we have been. We should be joined at least for part of it by our good friend John Marhefka. And, of course, by the way, be on the lookout for an upcoming show from the Sunday Audible. We'll be making an appearance in April for a quick, what would you call it, Jeff, a recap of the offseason?
I would think a recap. I think there's a lot that's been going on.
Yeah.
And I think that it needs to be spoken about, to be honest with you.
Yep. So that'll be coming up right before probably the Sunday before the draft. We'll get it, or maybe the Saturday before the draft. That way Jeff gets in and on that. But stay tuned. We got a website coming out. We got all sorts of gadgets coming for the Sunday Audible show. And, of course, the Hard Rockin' Sports Show every Thursday night. But in the meantime, Jeff, we got to get our guest on. He is the guitar player and the singer. Very bluesy. You guys got to check this band out. True Grit out of Las Vegas. He is Joey Mazzone, and he is our guest on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hello, Tommy. Thank you for having me on. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you, too. That's Jeff up in the corner. I'm Tom over here. So nice, Joe, to have you a part of the show. Joe, I have to tell you, you guys have obviously an amazing blues, rock, blues sound. I mean, I close my eyes, I hear, Stevie Ray Vaughan when I listen to you guys, and I'm sure that's obviously an influence and all that. But, you guys are a much younger band than I expected to hear after I saw you guys. Tell us how you guys got into that kind of influence, being in the younger generation.
I think for me personally, like, it came a lot from, like, my parents. My dad raised me on Led Zeppelin and Hendrix and Stevie and all that good stuff as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started playing guitar, I mean, obviously you're going to gravitate towards the greats. And I wanted to be different than the other people my age. You know, there's a lot of people my age playing metal and hard rock, and that music's great too, but I just wanted to be different, and I felt like this music gravitated more towards me.
Okay, now I got to ask a question. I hope you don't mind me asking it. I got to ask it. How old are you?
22 years old.
Okay, and if my
T-shirt's older than this kid, you got to be kidding me, right?
But when you listen to it, and here's the funny part: I put on some of their music during this last week, and I had it on at work, so I had it on another screen, so I didn't see the band. I heard the music, and I'm expecting 30s, 40s maybe, from the type of music, the sound. And when I clicked over, I went, that guy ain't 30-something years old. That guy may be 18. I got to take a harder look at this. But the interesting part I picked up on was, and I don't know if this is still true, but it says you picked up the guitar 6 years ago. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow. I have to tell you, for a guy who's – I've been trying to play guitar for a very long time, and I can promise you I sound nothing like you sound. So – do you come from a musical family? How is it in your blood? And why so late in the, I would say late in life, but most people pick it up at an earlier age.
My dad tried forcing me to play the guitar when I was younger, and I just wasn't having it. It wasn't until I was about 15 or 16 years old that I was writing all these song lyrics, but I didn't have any music to go along with the lyrics, so it was just basically poems. I thought, why not try out the guitar? And then, yes, it is a little bit in my family. My godfather, who's also like my second cousin or whatnot, he has been playing blues guitar for 40 or 50 years. He backed up guys like Muddy Waters and Buddy Guy. And he was my teacher for a long time and still is. We still go over things. And, yeah, he's definitely a big reason why I was able to progress at the rate I have.
Uh-huh. I got a question for you that I have to ask. When you said that your influences were Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and Stevie Ray, I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. He's great. I like Stevie Ray the most out of those three. But each one of them brings a little something different to the table. As much as they're related, that's as much as they're different. How do you intertwine all three of them? Because I can see it's almost like it must be like a fight for you to have one is more of a major influence than the other because of what they each bring to the table. You understand the question I'm trying to ask?
I totally understand. I think it's a little easier to incorporate Jimmy and Stevie with one another because Stevie was such a big fan of Jimmy. So that's, I look at Stevie as just a bluesier version of Jimmy. But you're definitely right. Led Zeppelin and Cream and other more psychedelic rock bands. It's I like to look at it as like a melting pot of stuff. I don't want to just sound strictly like one person. I mean, there's certain bands, I won't name names, but they sound like verbatim that band. And I don't want to have only one sound. So like
Greta Van Fleet.
They suck. They suck out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
They suck. Good one, Jeff, by the way.
We're not holding you to that.
Yeah, that's not Joey saying that. Jeff and I say we've been talking about this how long have we been talking about Greta Van Fleet, Jeff? 2 years?
Whatever happened to that band? They seemed to they came on hot, and thank God the fucking pandemic threw cold water on them, and now they're like, they're touring, but they don't have the same momentum.
You're right. They were becoming the next Dave Grohl. They were showing up everywhere, and boy, I couldn't. I hate them. I swear, it's just horrendous music. But
we're knocking him off track. Please, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Like Santana says it best: if you steal from one person, you're going to get copyright issues. If you steal from a bunch of people, it's called research. So, nice. And that's how I look at it. Like all of the great artists like Jimi Hendrix and Stevie, they don't just listen to one person. They gravitate and take from all these different artists. And that's how you make your own film. I do have to say, though, Greta Van Fleet, I do give them props because even though they do sound a lot like Led Zeppelin, I'm just glad to see somebody my age playing this type of music. You know what I mean? And
everybody says that.
Exposing this generation to that type of music because, a lot of my generation isn't going to listen with open ears.
But if you're exposing them to very bad music, you're chasing them away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get your point. Don't get me wrong. But if you're influencing them with bad music, you're going, I'm not listening to Led Zeppelin. These guys sound like Led Zeppelin. I'm not a Led Zeppelin fan. They're great. I'm just not a fan of that type of music. But Greta Van Fleet should not be ever. If I was Jimmy Page, I would come to one of their concerts and shoot them.
You know what? Part of the problem.
Or Will Smith them. That's one of the other.
Yeah. Part of the problem I have with Greta Van Fleet, and not with you, but people in your age bracket, it's when I was that age, I could not get into Led Zeppelin and some of the stuff that they were playing. I didn't like that bluesy sound. Now, I'm not a huge fan of that bluesy sound now, and I'm 55. Mm-hmm. But I've learned to appreciate it and listen to it a lot more. I don't think Greta Van Fleet, for example, would get the fan base that maybe they're due because of their talent, because they're playing such a variety of music that maybe a lot of people in that age bracket aren't going to like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You and your talents are probably looking to appeal to a little bit of an older crowd than what you're actually in. Because I could see other people being ready for that kind of music. Whereas when I was 22, I wanted to hear something that went 1,000 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, thrash, Metallica, and stuff like that. I wasn't able to appreciate music like that. And I hope that you're able to get the audience that you want and do the right thing for yourself. But I think it's really hard, you know, for that genre of music that you're playing. But I give you a lot of credit, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is hard to appeal to a younger audience. But in my personal experience, when I played at shows that had younger fans there, like, for example, at some of these venues that allow all ages and whatnot, we had a lineup of 5 or 6 different bands that were all that super heavy metal stuff. And I played Dust My Broom by Elmore James. And I had metalheads that were normally headbanging, dancing to 50s blues rock. So, it's a little, I get what you're saying, but I think they accept it a little bit more if it's coming from a younger person.
Yeah, it's very possible. I got to give you credit for, man, Dust My Broom. Wow. The first time I heard that was just a few years ago. So, man, you've done your research, man. I give you props for that, man, without a doubt.
Yeah, you got to go way back.
Hey, Joe, so tell us a little bit about the band. How did you guys get together? How long have you been together? What have you guys done so far?
So we actually met on Craigslist, of all places, where I was putting up ads for bass players and drummers, and I met our current bass player and drummer through there, and the band's been playing for about 2 years. We were established in 2020, and now we're recording music and putting out singles, and we've got a show coming up at the Foundation Room here in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay, April 7th. So we're just working on playing as many places we can here on the Strip and Fremont Street, or if the opportunity arises to tour, we'd be open to that, and the goal is just to get our music heard to as many people as possible.
Well, I tell you what, I give you credit because you guys 2 years ago, you picked a hell of a time to get in the band together. So hopefully you guys were able to practice a lot, maybe write some music, which I've gotten to listen to, and you guys write great stuff. And that's Joey Mazzone. He's the guitar player who, along with drummer Will Richards and bass player Nick Stevenson, form True Grit. They're out in the Las Vegas area. So make sure you get down to see these guys play. It's well worth it. Don't prejudge. These guys can kick it. They bring some good old fashioned blues rock to the table. So make sure you check them out. So I've seen lots of videos. I didn't see anything as far as like an EP or an album. Is there anything in the near future? You guys putting some recordings out there?
Yeah. So we've got our next single coming out around late April or early May. We're still trying to figure out some details with the distributing company, getting the everything lined up so it goes to the correct account. It's just a cluster buck of issues with trying to get that all sorted out. But yeah, we've got the single coming out, and then in the late fall or early winter, we're going to have our album released, Bitten by a Snake.
Nice. Back to Jeff's point a little bit, when you're writing, boy, I'm always curious on the on when you write. Do you guys go out and do you write when you write? Because I don't know, speak for the other guys. Do you go out there with a certain type of song you're trying to write that fits inside of a cube of an album, or is it just whatever comes out? And if it sounds like Stevie Ray Vaughan, or if it sounds like Led Zeppelin, who cares? Or how do you figure out what you're trying to put on a record?
Well, I like to just write whatever's coming to me, because whatever comes natural is going to become the best product.
Mm-hmm.
And then take all the songs you have and see which ones would fit cohesively in an album, because just because a song is really good doesn't mean that it's necessarily fit for that album or that time period or mm-hmm. EP or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this album that we have coming up, we really put a lot of thought into and trying to be different, because most of the albums nowadays are just like a compilation of singles, and it just sounds like one random thing after another. We wanted this work of art to be have continuity, like how the old days, when you put on a vinyl record and each song kind of flowed from one to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of our thought process behind creating this album. And if it was influenced by Stevie or Jimmy or whoever, that's fine. But we, even if it is influenced by Stevie or Jimmy or Zeppelin or anybody mm-hmm. like that, it still has a True Grit sound to it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, Jeff. Oh, shit. Sorry, guys. Hold on. I'm sorry. What the hell? I'm sorry about that. Sorry.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, that's Cole trying to produce the show as you're going. So I had to get a banner up. Thank you, Jeff. Sorry.
I got a question. I've been thinking, listening to everything you say and everything. I got to ask out of curiosity more than anything else. You say you're a big Hendrix fan and Stevie Ray fan and Zeppelin fan and Cream and a couple others that you mentioned. So what guitar are you using if you're a blues guy? I'm curious to see what you're using.
For our live performances, I'm using a white American Professional Stratocaster for
Is that your main guitar? Because lot of blues guys use that, and that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I would say that's my number one guitar. And then I also have a custom-made Telecaster. It's a little different than the traditional Telecaster. It's got a P90 in the neck and a Bigsby on it, so I can do some of that whammy bar vibrato. Well, it's not a whammy bar because it's Bigsby, but you know what I'm saying.
I hear you. I know a lot of blues guys like the Strat for the clean sound and everything, and Stevie Ray and Hendrix used the Strat, but then you had Page with the Les Paul, and a lot of blues guys, I've seen them use the SGs, and then some of the other blues guys, the older blues guys like, what the fuck is his name? His guitar's name was Lucille.
B.B. King?
B.B. King. He had the hollow body Gibson. I was just curious to see which way you went with that. And, that's cool to see that you're playing a Strat, man. I dig that.
Well, I have several guitars, and especially in the studio, when you want to kind of give each song a different color and texture, I do use a semi-hollow Gibson ES-335, which is similar to something B.B. King would use. I do have Les Pauls and a traditional Telecaster, so I've got an assortment of tools under my belt.
That's cool.
Do you try to use the same guitars? I mean, when you get out, I know you try to do it for the album, but when you get out and you're playing live, do you try to change guitars, or do you try to primarily stick with one?
I like to switch it up, keep it fresh, and it's just each guitar brings something different out of you, and especially on what our set list is looking like.
Mm-hmm.
If we're covering certain songs that lend themselves to a certain guitar, I'll use that for that performance, but it really just depends on the show and stuff like that.
Oh, that's absolutely.
As me and Tommy played in bands together in the past, and I know that it's such a pain in the ass to bring all of that stuff with you and set up two or three guitars. And I just bring one bass and tune it to whatever I have to tune it to and change tunings. And it's when my neck looks like a rubber band when I get done with a show or two. So I give you guys a lot of credit for taking different instruments and just the thought of having to take that home and everything else, man, what a pain in the ass that is at times.
Yeah, it's definitely hard hauling the gear up, you know, when venues don't have elevators or anything like that, and we have to take it up, you know, 3-4 flights of stairs to get to the roof or something like that. That's okay. When it becomes a pain in the ass.
That's where you got to get your friends some free tickets.
Yeah, exactly. help carry the load. But, most of the time they have like a good load-in place, and a lot of the venues that we're playing, considering they're professional venues like the House of Blues and Backstage Farm Billiards and the Rio and things like that, they're ready for musicians, so it's a little bit easier to load in over there. But yeah, I definitely hear you.
Yeah.
So, Joe, do me a favor, give everybody some websites and social media sites where they can keep up with what you guys are up to, and you know, past and so they don't miss you guys, especially out in the Vegas area.
Yeah. So our website is truegritband.com, and then our Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube is @truegritband. Our Facebook is @truegritbandofficial. And if you want to hear our original material on Spotify or in iTunes, just look up True Grit. Right now we have our latest single, Fast Lane, out there, and the next single coming up is going to be New Kind of Game.
Oh, next time I'll talk to Sam about playing some of your music before the show, if that's okay with you guys. We love to open a show each week. Sam didn't send me any new music, but I got to a little late in the day today instead of early. I got a little busy, so... we'll do that on some future shows, and of course, we want everybody to support the band True Grit and Joey and the boys. One more thing, I did notice that one thing that I don't know if you're a sports fan, but I did notice that you had a little bit of a career in I think it was Taekwondo. Is that something you still mess with? Staying in shape for being on? I noticed a lot of wear and tear playing shows, and you're very animated on stage. Is that something you keep up with, or is that something you just did for a short time?
Can I ask you how you found that out?
Joe, please. I got my secrets. I got my sources.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
By the way, Sam told me.
Okay.
Yeah, this kid scratching his head. You shouldn't have said anything.
Nah. I like Joe. He's good.
He wasn't sleeping tonight.
He's going to be big in a couple of years. I want him to say, I like those guys. I don't want him to say, that guy's a jerk off.
Yeah, no. So to answer your question, no, I don't keep up with it still. I don't still do that. I was actually a world champion in Taekwondo. I got a third degree black belt. But I would say that it still brings an influence to my performances because, you know, when you're competing and doing competitions and stuff like that, you're putting on a show mm-hmm. and you're in front of a lot of people. And so I would say it prepped me for the stage. And I think that's one of the reasons why being a performer and going on stage is something that comes natural. And the way I'm moving about on stage and just the amount of energy and stamina it takes to be that crazy is I'll definitely give some props to my older days of Taekwondo.
Yep, I made sense. After I read that and then watched the videos, I said, you might not keep up with it, but you could see how that's influenced his being prepared on stage and the energy level. So good for you. So, guys, make sure if you get the chance to support Joe and his bandmates Will and Nikki, make sure you support the band True Grit. They're big fans. We're big fans here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. And we look forward to having those guys back. And, Joe, anytime you guys want to prep something, put something out there or put something out for somebody to hear or whatever, get some messages out, we'd love to have you back and bring your friends next time if you're more than welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope to be on the show again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good luck to True Grit, Joey, and the boys. And please go out there and make sure you support them. Joe, take care of yourself. Good luck, and give our best to the rest of the guys.
You too. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go. That's Joey Mazzone, Jeff. Nice kid. You see these 22, 23-year-old kids, and you're like, damn, what was I thinking about at that point in my life?
Please, you know, the other day, actually, my wife were in a restaurant, and wherever, I don't remember where we were, but I remember that the two EMTs came in. Now, I wasn't holding my chest, and they weren't coming for me, so I felt good about my chances of getting out of there.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at these guys, and I'm like, man, this is it. These fucking guys look like they should be going in to eat dinner now. Never mind, like, out here riding around in an ambulance saving people.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, these big kids that are that age in their 20s, they look so young.
Oh my God, it's scary.
Oh,
Jeff, yeah. I'll tell you, I went to go, part of my new responsibilities at my job, I'm bidding work again. I haven't done it in a long time. So anyway, there's a job not too far from my office. They tell me to go see it, and I have to make this appointment with this kid. I call him up, and I make an appointment with him, and I don't pick up anything on the phone. But when I pull up there, it looked like take your son to work day. Like dad took his son to work, and he was busy, so he sent the son out to get me and bring me in. And I want to say, does your dad know you have a hard hat and a jacket on? This kid looked like he was 15 years old. I'm not exaggerating in the slightest bit. And he walked me through the job, and the whole time, all I wanted to say to him was, how old are you, and does anybody know that you missed school today?
Yeah, really.
and he's going, yeah, that was, he took a phone call, and he goes, oh, that was my wife. Your wife? Your wife?
Yeah.
I didn't have the heart to ask him how old he was.
And listen, that's when they turn around, they tell you something like that, and he's like, yeah, you know, I got two daughters and a son. One's five, the other one's
yeah.
four, and the other one's 6 months. And, and we got three kids, and we want to have more. And it's,
yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm telling you, Jeff, if this kid was like Ralph Macchio from like the 80s, you know, like he's just, I'm looking at him, I'm going, this kid's probably 24, 25 years old. If he looked a day past 15, I'd be shocked at this moment in my life. So. I said to myself, I know I've become the old guy. I am that guy that when I was young in this business and I would go meet to bring somebody, walk them through something or go to meet, and they were the old fogey. I said, that's me now. I'm that guy.
Hold. Yeah, but we don't look at ourselves that way.
No, I don't. I don't. But when you stare across at a kid who's got to be, who I've probably been in I was probably 20 years into this business before this kid was even born. So I said, oh my God, it was frighteningly scary, and a real slap in the face. So I just want to.
There's a guy that I work with. I asked him a couple weeks ago to come see me. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I had a question about some gardening stuff
yep.
that I wanted to do with my house and landscaping. Not gardening. Gardening is tomatoes. Landscaping is a different story.
It's a different thing.
So he finally comes into the office today. This is after a couple of weeks, sending messages to him through other people.
Right.
Telling people to tell him that I'm mad at him because he wasn't coming. So he finally comes in. I looked at him. I didn't say a word. He smiles at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up from my desk and I shut the door and I sit back down. Now, half of it is a window so he can see me. So I just start mumbling about him
mm-hmm.
behind the glass. And then he just walks out and he does what he has to do when he comes back. And I'm sitting there waiting. So I'm like, you have a few minutes for me now there, Governor? He says, I've been waiting long enough. So he turns around, and we talk about what we had to talk about. We talked about things for a few minutes. Then he sends this text to me. He goes, good seeing you, boss, right? So I was like, likewise. He says, you should stop by more often. He goes, you guys are all angry at the garage. Just the way he came off, that you guys are all angry at the garage. I'm thinking about it, I'm like, no wonder nobody wants to come here. Every time they come to the garage and they ask, is this for something? And just like, nah, whatever, I don't care. Whatever, go. Can't figure it out. Well, you don't need it then. What can I tell you? They ask my boss something and he's just like, you don't even talk to them. They must hate it. They're like, I don't want to go up there. I don't want
to
go up.
Nobody wants to go visit the garage. Which in a way is the good thing. If they don't come in, you don't have to do anything.
Dude, they come in anyway. There was a guy the other day. He comes in. He tells me he needs something. And then he's like, before he goes, wait, one more thing. I got something that needs to be welded by the welder. And the welder is right next door to us. I'm like, so we'll talk to the welder. And he's like, well, you know, I figured. I'm like, no. Welder works for shops, not for us. Get the fuck out of here and go talk to the welder yourself. I'm not talking to the welder. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not even listening to you. Like, well, get out. And I don't know if he got his shit fixed or not, but I know I'm not talking to the welder for him. He's on his own.
Yeah. All Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom doing our thing here. About to bring up some interesting football topics, so stick around and make sure you come on back next week. We'll be doing show number 534 next week on our way to this summer. July 31st, we'll bring in our starter. 8 years doing this, and 500 and something show, 570 shows, I think, by then. I'm not really sure. I'd have to kind of do some math. 560-something shows. So,
there's not that many weeks till July.
But. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, let's figure that out. So you got all of April, all of May, all of June.
Four,
let's
four, eight,
12, 12,
16.
All right,
16 to 19, 20 maybe.
So five will be at right around 550th show. Well, we're gonna have to do some sort of celebration, even if it's just on the air. We'll have to do something. We can't let that pass.
I understand. I understand that the half man is not feeling all that well.
Yeah, I did see him pop up today for the first time in semi-good spirits. So, but I do. Yes, half man's had a rough period, and I want you know I offered for the half man to move into my house, and it was declined. It was declined. That's how bad it was for the half man.
What happened to this beautiful relationship he had?
I want to say, with all due respect, it turned ugly. And I mean that in the literal sense.
Oh,
I think he finally figured out that, what the fuck. But, yeah, so I don't know where the half-man's been staying. I think he's been couch surfing. I don't really know where the half-man is. He's been in the hospital for a while. He's not answering much in the way of calls and stuff. But, a couple weeks back, I actually called him up and said, Nom, I don't want you doing that. You didn't stay here for a month. Come in, stay for a month, and get yourself on your feet. And he said, thank you. I'll get back to you. And I haven't heard from him since. So.
Well, listen, you know what? He's not going to take advantage of it, I guess, is the best way to put it. But,
yeah.
The half man is he's a half man.
Yeah, I still would like to do our trivia contest that we spoke about. So, he's a key cog and I think
I would say it's
our young lad from last.
More of a key cog between the three.
Well, I think we might have to take it to four because I think our young lad from last week has to be in with his Reggie Jackson card from 1966.
Oh my God, we never got to talk about him.
I had a busy week twice. I was on my way home and I wanted to call you, but I got busy on the phone on the way home and never got a chance to call you, but. Yeah, that was quite the interesting conversation.
Yes. I would like to know how that happened.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you all that off the air, Jeff. I think it'd be best.
I hear you. I'm not looking to push anything. I think the coast is clear now. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But, that was great. Because I remember that. You can come on whenever you want.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is he doing? Because, certain times when certain people say things like, I'll jump off to the side and I'll check them out, like on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
I see them and then I'm like, what the fuck is that? What is that?
Yeah, there's been a few of those lately, as we've talked about off the air.
Listen, I would firmly believe that young man spent time in an incubator and they didn't put the fucking heat up high enough. And a couple degrees of cool weather just didn't allow for certain development.
Yeah, very nice kid. I just was taken aback by the argument over the Reggie Jackson card, but that's a whole different kettle of fish.
What was the year he said on that?
1966.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, let's move on. Jeff, Bruce Arians up and quits his job, and Todd Bowles gets the job. Now, there was a ton of rumors going around for the last 2 days that this was a Brady power play, and Todd Bowles comes out and says, no, I was probably going to retire after this year, and I wanted to give Todd Bowles a chance to be the head coach with a really good team, with a really good quarterback, because I think he deserves it. And people were taken aback, and most people didn't believe it. What's your take on Bruce Arians and his decision to step away at this point in the season and basically handpick Todd Bowles to be his successor?
I agree with all of those that say that this is bullshit. Okay? I don't care. One of the things I read that Bruce Arians said is that he didn't care about the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I don't believe that. I don't know if he was a player or what his coaching experience is, but I do know that as the head coach, you're pretty much halfway there with one Super Bowl win.
I would say that, yeah.
I don't see you backing out at the last minute, knowing that you probably have one, maybe two more tries to get into another Super Bowl and win it, and possibly winning two in a row with Tom Brady, unfortunately. So I think that was a bullshit. I think that Bruce Arians said that I'm not retiring. I'm staying on. And Tom Brady turned around and said, I'm going to retire. And there was some behind-the-scenes maneuvering, and they'll say, all right, this is what we'll do. He's going to retire. You come back. Todd Bowles will be the boss, the new coach. Bruce Arians is going to go upstairs. This is what I don't understand, and nobody's yet to mention. Tom Brady is going to allow himself to be coached by a man that used to be the coach in his division, whose team he used to beat up on.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard
that's his good coach.
Yeah, it's an interesting I think that's simply again, I'm 4 hours ago I would have argued with you, I would have agreed with you, I should say, on the Brady conspiracy theory. I honestly believe I listened to a guy by the name of Ira Kaufman, who's big in the Bucks circle. You know, he's a writer, very big on that, and he came on one of the shows I was listening to and said, no, straight up, dude, that's Bruce Arians. He's known for a while that he's, you know, this was going to be it, and he wanted to make sure that Todd Bowles got the job and he had a chance. He said had Brady not come back, he would have stayed around because he didn't want him to be left with Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert or whoever that backup quarterback is. He said, but once Brady came back, he knew that he could leave and it would be a decent team no matter what. So I'm going to buy into it and give him credit for it. I was surprised that they didn't give the job to Leftwich. But Bowles, and I think Brady's happy with it because I think Bowles will basically say, you guys run the offense, I'll take care of the rest of the team.
Well, I think that any writers or any beat writers or any media coverage is just going to respond and tell you what they're told.
That's very possible.
And this is going to be a press release from the team itself.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't somebody that's going to be sitting there knowing the inner workings of this team, because if not, we would have heard this name before with the, like, Tom Brady may very well come back. And I mean, yes, I heard the calls that Tom Brady would come back. And Tom Brady telling us that he retired and came back so soon, I find that insulting.
Oh, I would agree with that. I think that was all a power play to try to get himself traded, and it didn't work, and he had no choice.
It was a power play to get away from Bruce Arians.
I don't disagree with that. I don't.
Because why now all of a sudden it's cool that Todd Bowles is going to be a coach? This is a guy, he was a nice enough guy. He was very, very monotone in everything that he did. He didn't know when to call timeout and know how to use the clock.
Yeah, very smart.
He's the head coach.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Now you went from Bill Belichick, a cerebral assassin, to Todd Bowles that couldn't even know when to fucking call a timeout.
Interesting. You know what? Jeff, you're not wrong in this whole thing. They gave him a 5-year deal. So this guy's not going anywhere for a while.
5-year deal, wow. And he's 58 years old, too, I believe. 58
yeah.
years old.
Yep. He's not going anywhere for a bunch of years. No, he's going to be the Tampa Bay coach. I don't know if he's the right guy for this whole thing. I will tell you this, though. The odds have changed, and I have the top 10 teams who, based on Las Vegas, who they think is going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I'd love to have you try to go down through the top 10 and tell me who's in there.
Okay. As always, you know.
All right, Jeff. So I think some of it's going to be easy. I will tell you that there's one team I think you'll be surprised is not in the top 10. But I will say I will give you I'll give you three strikes. So you can keep naming teams until you get three wrong, and then I'll give you the top 10.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And it doesn't have to be in order. I'll take any top 10 team on this list.
Okay. Well, one, I'm going to say it has to be Tampa Bay.
Okay. Yep.
Just because Brady came back, it has to be Tampa Bay.
Yep. They've shot up to they're actually number two on the list. They've actually jumped that high just after the last couple of days.
I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, they're number one.
I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins.
Are not in the top 10. It's one strike for you.
It's one strike.
Yep.
So we got, who did I say?
You
so
got
far?
The Bills and the Bucks.
The Denver Broncos.
Are number nine.
Okay, so they're in there. I would have to say Dallas.
Dallas is number eight.
Green Bay.
Green Bay is number four.
The Rams, of course.
Number five, surprisingly.
So how many do I got left?
You got one, two, three, four left with two strikes. One of them,
one
I
strike,
don't think.
One strike.
Would you have two strikes left?
Oh, okay.
And I think one of them is going to be a bit of a surprise. So you're going to, one of them, you're going to have to do a little thinking. So
I'm going out on a limb on this one.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to say Kansas City.
Yep, Kansas City is number three.
I would have figured that Kansas City, after losing the receiver there, would have fell down the ladder. So what do I need? Two more to finish out the top 10?
You need three more.
Three more?
So you've already named the Bills, the Bucks, the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Rams. You're at the top five. And you got the Cowboys and the Broncos. So you have one, two, and three left.
The Bengals.
The Bengals were the team I was surprised are not in the top 10, Jeff.
Really? So it's strike two.
That's strike two, Jeff. So be careful. You're about to be whammied, as they say.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to go give me a hint, AFC, NFC.
I'll tell you this. You have one NFC team left. They made the playoffs last year, and two AFC teams, one of those made the playoffs last year. No. Neither one of the two AFC teams made the playoffs that are left.
I got to go San Francisco and the 49ers.
Yes, San Francisco 49ers are the last NFC team.
No, I got two AFC teams.
You have two AFC teams. One, I'm telling you, I'd be shocked if you got. The other one you should have gotten already.
Cleveland.
That surprised me you got that one, because Cleveland is in there, and they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, number 7.
Wow.
They have shot up.
I'm down to one team left.
But, yep, you're number 10. This is a team.
The Raiders.
Very good guess. No, Jeff, and you struck out on that last one. It is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, man.
The Los Angeles Chargers. So the top 10, for as far as Las Vegas is concerned, it's Bills, Bucks, Chiefs, Packers, Rams, 49ers, Browns, Cowboys, Broncos, Chargers. Anybody in there surprise you?
Broncos, somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the Russell Wilson factor in there now.
Yeah, I don't know if that team has enough around them. And I'm going to say the Browns. There's a lot of surprising things about the Browns.
Uh-huh.
And I chimed in on a conversation with you and John. I don't think that Watson should be should be suspended for anything if he's found innocent. What is the point? What are you suspending him for?
Well, the NFL still has a morals clause. Now, I don't disagree with you, but I think they have to suspend him. I think if the NFL were to go into the regular season and let him play, you would have. I mean, there's already been what's his name, Jim Tomey, the baseball player, former baseball player, and his wife are longtime Cleveland Brown season ticket holders, and they've actually asked for their money back because of the signing. And I think now, if you saw his press conference, he came out there and was emphatic. I didn't do it. This is bullshit. Blah, 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 blah. Which I thought was the wrong tone for him to take, but I think that they have to suspend him.
As soon as he got in front, he's been quiet for over 2 years.
Yeah, no, the NFL has to suspend him to at least say, hey, the court system didn't do anything, but at least we took him out for two games. I think he's going to get four games, wind up with two or three, and that's what he'll do.
But here's the thing: if he got first, he's went to the grand jury twice,
right?
Okay. I have not read or saw any reports of anything of people protesting him being found guilty by being found innocent by two grand juries, no charges pressed against him by two grand juries.
That's correct.
Okay?
That's correct.
Now, you're saying the moral cause, which I understand what you're saying. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But what's morally wrong? If the guy didn't do anything illegally wrong, what could be morally wrong?
Well, let me ask you this.
There's not a guy in the NFL right now that has not flashed some other chick at one point in time because just about every football player thinks that they're above some part of the law or moral society one way or another, whether it's with weed smoking, driving 900 miles an hour, the way their treatment, physical treatment of women, men, whoever, kids,
mm-hmm.
okay? That kid that just, I can't remember this guy's name. Is it the one that got traded from the Chiefs to the Dolphins?
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
His kid had a broken arm.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem Hunt. A video of him pushing and kicking a woman, you know, mm-hmm. punching people.
Yeah.
All these other people with everything that they've had against them, and yet they're allowed to come in and play. Yeah, maybe you don't hear they're not as famous a player as they once were. But, I mean, come on. You got to be kidding me. Now, this guy here, sexual assault. So far, two grand juries said that nothing happened.
Right.
Well, what's morally wrong with nothing happened?
I here's all that I'll say to that, Jeff, and I don't disagree with you to a certain extent, but what if he was found guilty in civil court and had to pay millions of dollars? Look at O.J. O.J. was acquitted by a jury, not a grand jury, a jury, yet lost in a civil case. So
yeah,
what, you know,
O.J. was a little bit of a different story.
I'm not saying that I'm not trying to equate the two, but, you know, Deshaun Watson wasn't accused by one person. He was accused by 22 people.
Yes, I know. But the one thing about O.J.,
yep.
O.J. had money.
Yep.
O.J. was able to make things happen.
So does Deshaun Watson. Okay?
But it was O.J.
Mm-hmm.
You know, O.J. was loved.
Oh, absolutely. I love O.J.
I understand what you're saying, okay? This Deshaun Watson, I've always asked for mm-hmm. myself, I never brought it up or whatever, but the other lawyer that's representing all of these women,
yep.
is he an ambulance chaser?
For the most part, I would say he's an ambulance chaser, sure.
Is he in it for the money and everything else? Matter of fact, these women, did they think that, or they think to themselves like, you know, this guy hasn't caved yet. We've lost two grand jury cases and this guy hasn't caved at all.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't saying anything. His lawyer said that the truth will come out when the time is right.
Yep.
And they're still sitting back. Are they sitting on the truth? And when all of a sudden they're like, okay, all of these different juries have found him innocent, it's now time. Let's open up the box and show you what's inside, and we'll show you why our client is completely innocent and this is fabricated and bullshit.
Right.
Is that going to happen? Is that about to happen?
Don't know.
Because then if it does, and you're going to morally charge him, then you got to be kidding me.
I'm torn in it too, but I'd have to say, again, I think that all 22 women were assaulted? I don't. I think I'm going to tell you that probably more than half of them were people who some lawyer's assistant went and did research, found all the people he contacted, and he reached out to all these girls and said, were you offended? I think that there's a handful of people who actually were offended. I say the answer something happened to you, I would say the answer was yes. I think there's enough there. And I think that the NFL, regardless of whether I believe he should be because he was found innocent, I think the NFL has got no choice. Otherwise, they're going to have every group in the world run. You know, nobody's done anything because he hasn't played. You know, he didn't play all last year. So,
you're 100% right. He didn't play all last year. But you know something? Now it's getting to the point where we're getting to the heart of the matter.
Right.
And so far, two grand juries have said that they can't find enough evidence against him to put it in trial. I haven't been reading up on it, but the little that I have been reading,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any articles anywhere that says this is the evidence that was against him that they said, no, none of this.
To me, it was he said, she said stuff. There was no physical evidence.
It is, but when you got 22 people saying something, you think that that case would be just a little bit stronger.
I don't disagree with you. I don't. And again, I'm torn because I think he should be suspended, but I understand the point of, hey, I was found innocent by two grand juries, and grand juries, as they say, a ham sandwich, and this guy got off. Now, I don't know if it's because he's Deshaun Watson,
if I don't know what the what was said by the accusers, if there was any testimony, or if they were just reading depositions. I don't know how it was done, but Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended for a couple games. It's going to be four, and they'll reduce it to two. Otherwise, but on the backside of this now, the Browns are still holding on to Baker Mayfield. I guess they're trying to get something for him, and they've come out and said, hey guys, we'll go into the season with both of these guys, and it'd be like Young and Montana over.
All three.
Right, because they picked up, what's his name?
What was his name?
Oh, my God. They did pick up another quarterback. Was it Jacoby Brissett?
Yes, Jacoby Brissett.
Yes. So they said they're going to hold on. They'll hold on to all three guys. Jeff, I'm assuming that's just, the Browns trying to get somebody to pay for him instead of everybody waiting for him. Now, there's only a couple landing spots, but do you agree with the Browns when they say, well, screw it, we'll just hold on to him for the year?
Well, they're not going to hold on to him for the year. You know that. I don't care what they say. They're not going to hold on to him for the year.
I agree.
What the Browns are hoping soon is that somebody has a devastating injury in practice in the preseason. That's what they're hoping for. And then they're going to be – they're just going to sit back and it's going to be like, who's knocking down next? And just let them come on in with their offer, okay? Because then it's going to be a big offer too. Okay? Remember that.
I don't know you're going to get as much as you think. And I think really there's only two real landing spots for him right now.
I'm not going to say that you're going to get two number ones for this guy.
No.
But you're not going to have somebody that's going to say, we'll give you a three and a five.
No, I think a two and a three. I think you can get a two and a three for a guy like that.
Or one number one, depending on where it is.
Maybe you get a late round. If it's Seattle, you're looking at a mid-round number one. Maybe. I could see it, but I think Seattle's out of number ones at this point. They gave a bunch to the Jets. They gave some to they just got a bunch back from Denver. So they do have some stuff to play with. So, but to be honest with you, I think he winds up in Carolina. I think that's going to be the spot where he winds up eventually. But, I think that's
I don't know about that, man. If that's the case, then, I mean, Sam Brad, if Baker Mayfield goes to the Carolina Panthers, Sam Donald should just fucking turn around and retire. And not even, matter of fact, don't even say anything. Just pack up your locker. And just be like, yeah, guys, I'll see you tomorrow, and just fucking walk out.
Could you imagine the number one and number three pick in the NFL draft five years ago, are on the same roster?
On the same roster, and, just
fighting for the same position.
Baker Mayfield, I'm sorry, I know you're not a fan.
No.
Baker Mayfield, to me, still has a position, a place in his league.
Oh, absolutely.
I firmly believe that.
Oh, I agree with you.
He's the number one pick. The guy had a shoulder injury, and now everybody and their mother is all over him saying that's it.
Yeah, I don't think he's a great – listen, he's a step and a half above what Sam Donald's put on the field so far.
Oh, please, come on.
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. But I also feel about him the same way I feel about Deshaun Watson. But I'll say this. I actually think he's done more than Deshaun Watson, in my opinion.
Who?
Baker Mayfield.
I don't know about that.
He went to the playoffs. He won a playoff game. He beat Pittsburgh.
He's been to the playoffs once.
How many times has Deshaun Watson gotten there and done anything?
Been there a couple times. Deshaun Watson's gone to the playoffs a couple times.
And done nothing with a much better team.
Neither one of them has done anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, again, I'm not saying that they should.
One game in the playoffs is not doing something in the playoffs.
I don't think that I wouldn't. If I was the Browns, I would not. You cannot keep Baker Mayfield after everything that's gone on. Short of that, they're not going to be any better this year than they were last year with Deshaun Watson. He hasn't played in a year, and he was okay. He was good. I'm not telling you he's not a good quarterback. He's just not what I don't think he's worthy of moving up from probably number 20 to number 7 for Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl odds. I'm sorry, I just don't see it.
If I was Baker Mayfield, I would turn around and tell him, say, listen, if you're not going to get rid of me, I will never work out with this team again while I'm under contract with this team.
Yeah.
I will go out and get a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I will have a few people that I will hire, and I will work out every day just as if I was with practice, but I will not work out with this team and do anything to help this team along. If you're going to keep me I'm playing, and this is what you did. This is how you repaid me. Fuck you. I ain't doing anything for this team.
I can't.
I'm not doing shit for this team. I am just here. I got 2 years left, 1 year left, whatever it is. You want to hit me with the franchise tag? Tag me, bitch. You know what that's going to cost you?
Oh, yeah.
You're paying him? Tag me. Tag me.
Well, it's going to be it's still an interesting season. Listen, there's a lot of, you know, I know a lot of quarterbacks moving around. Although, you know, we'll do this more maybe in the next, in April. I want to start breaking down the division starting next Thursday. And we're going to do some Sunday Audible stuff. But, you know, let me ask you this, team. The Browns, the Colts, I'll throw to Pittsburgh, the Falcons in there. They all got new quarterbacks. Are any of them now playoff teams? The Browns, the Colts?
No, because every single one of these teams that needed a – maybe the Browns. Maybe the Browns. Maybe.
In that division, though, Jeff? I mean –
Maybe.
Okay.
Because we got to figure Pittsburgh is out. Why can't two wild cards come out of the same division?
Yeah, because of the AFC. Because of the AFC West and the AFC East. I did the AFC East.
That's why I said I doubt it.
Yeah.
Why can't it happen?
No, it can. You're right. You're right.
I think that the Browns probably are the ones that are going to benefit the quarterback change the most. Marcus Mariota did nothing with Tennessee. What makes you think he's going to do anything in Atlanta?
I agree.
Okay. Matt Ryan had a good run in Atlanta. He's getting old. Okay. Russell Wilson has gone from a team that was bad to a team that was almost as bad. So I don't expect him to make that much of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh knows who their quarterback is. I just think that they have a quarterback on their team. Okay. And who did they sign again? I don't even remember.
Mitch Trubisky.
Come on. That's not the answer.
Yeah, I'm just saying the carousel spun. I just don't know if it spun to a point where it made a difference.
I don't think the carousel spun. Okay, and people jumped on. I think the carousel had a bunch of people on it that weren't fully strapped in. And what happened is it spun. Guy went this way, guy went that way, guy went shot over this way. And they just happened to land in these different starting spots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Frank Reich in Indianapolis, I think his reputation took a hit with Carson Wentz.
I agree with that, 100%. In fact, I really do. The owner of the Colts actually had, what his quote was, it was very obvious we had to move on from Carson Wentz. That's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts who said, and was pretty, I think he actually drove Carson Wentz all the way to Washington so to get him out of town personally in his car.
Well, listen, you know, a lot of these guys, and this is the one thing that I got to say, okay, we're living in a very, very hostile quarterback environment.
Yes.
Where if you don't deliver instantaneously,
yes,
your career is done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
Okay? I couldn't agree with you more.
Everybody said, let's go back a little bit in New York Times to Geno Smith when he got drafted by the Jets. Got drafted in the second round.
Yep.
I remember watching the draft that night and him being all pissed off.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I had that face.
He didn't get drafted in the first round.
Yep.
And it bugged him. But yet, here he goes to what possibly the biggest market in sports. Get drafted by the Jets, could have had the potential to be a star, okay? He was a bust.
Oh, yeah?
He was a bust.
Yep.
It's just amazing. These quarterbacks could get off on the wrong foot on day one entering the league and ruin their career and reputation before they even put a fucking shirt on.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you get somebody like Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Couple years later on down the line when we had Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold,
mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, Josh
that
Allen. Yeah.
Josh Allen. Rosen, his career done.
And he was supposed to be the guy who was supposed to be the best of all of them.
Yes. Here is the most NFL-rated quarterback.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Now he's hanging on someplace. He's a backup someplace.
Yeah, I mean, last year, I forget where he was. I think Miami. He was in Miami, I think, last year as a backup, third string.
That I don't remember where he was.
I think so.
Wow, you got to be kidding me. And it's just that these guys, that's it. They're done. Like so Rosen, he will never be on the field again. Never.
Yeah.
His career is over. He just has a job right now at this point.
Yeah.
And his job just happens to be, you know, to hang out on the sidelines for whatever team. Trubisky,
yep.
You can't tell me that this guy's ever going to be a star in this league and be a viable option at quarterback. Mariota, the only reason he's an option is because nobody's seen him play in a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to Atlanta. Atlanta was going to, you know what? What does Atlanta have to choose or lose? Nothing.
No.
So you try him out. You see what he's all about.
Mm-hmm.
If he don't work, you know you're moving on from him anyway.
Yeah.
Would they sign him to a 2-year deal?
Yeah. I believe 2-year deal, yes.
Probably the second year is probably they get out of it one way or another, and that's it for them. They don't. There's no answer or option coming out of college this year, evidently.
I don't see it. I don't see it. Hey, I gotta let you see Josh Rosen's full name. Can you read that? Maybe make it bigger.
Josh Billinger.
Hold on. Hey, let me see if I can make that bigger. Slide it over. Now.
Joshua Ballinger Lippincott Rosen. Lippincott.
That's quite the name.
Yeah, really.
Now, I didn't realize this. He played in 2018 in Arizona, 2019 in Miami.
2020 didn't play.
Yep, and 21 he played in Atlanta, which I did not know. I knew he was in Miami, but that was 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago at this point. So not much of a career for a guy who came out as the most pro-ready quarterback in that draft.
No, when we see the ones, if he was pro-ready and look where he is right now.
Yep.
The other ones didn't do much better for themselves, with Mayfield pretty much begging to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And Sam Darnold sitting back like, you know what? I don't care, motherfucker. I'm getting $18 million.
Yeah. Sam,
you don't want me to play? I'm getting paid.
Yeah. I saw that Andy Dalton, I think, signed a contract with the Saints, one-year deal. So quarterbacks are still bouncing out there, Jeff. It hasn't been all, but let's go back to the original. I want to move on to something else, and we'll come back to some football again. But we talked about it. The bookmakers have moved the Bucks way up. They were, I think, fourth or fifth before. They're now second to win the Super Bowl. They're picking basically a Bills-Bucks
Super Bowl. Is that when Brady came back and Arians was still coach?
I believe that is the case, yes. But it did not drop today.
They wavered with Todd Bowles as coach.
They're still number two. Now, I didn't see the odds, so I don't know if they went from a, you know.
When was the article that you're reading? When was that released?
I don't know. I have to go back and find it now.
We got to see.
But they have not dropped. I did check other places. They're on the number two favorite team to win the Super Bowl this year. In your opinion, based on where they are right now, you know, Brady coming back, you know, they've lost a couple players. He's recruiting, but and now with Todd Bowles as coach, where do you think the Bucks land right now?
Unfortunately, due to Brady, I think that they're within the top 10 to 15, without a doubt. I think they're a little further down the list. If you're talking top 10, I'd say they got to be somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Well, let me ask you this. Where do you, you know, right now, according to that, they're the number one team in the NFC. So okay, so you got Green Bay, okay, you got Dallas, you got the 49ers, and you got the Rams and the Bucks, five teams. Where are they in that mix? Who's the best team in the NFC right now?
If I had to pick team in the NFC, I would say that I have to go Rams right now. Right now, Rams.
Okay. Is it Green Bay or Tampa next?
I go Rams, Dallas,
oof,
Tampa, Green Bay, San Francisco.
Wow.
I would go Rams because I feel as though that they're going to be the best team.
Okay.
Let them get beat. Cowboys, I just think that after so many years of not getting to where they wanted to be, this is their chance now because a lot of these other teams have weakened. Green Bay because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
But he doesn't have anybody else to play with.
Yeah, he doesn't have a big receiver at this point. That's.
But let's see what happens during the playoffs. I mean, not the playoffs, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The draft.
Yep.
Then Tampa Bay because of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I would give them the fourth out of five. just because you got fucking Bowles as the coach.
Had Arian stayed, would you have moved the Bucks up further?
Yes.
So yes. Would you have them at two? Would you have them as the number one team in the NFC or second?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I would have to say three.
Oh, okay. So you're just jumping them one spot.
Yeah, but that's a big one spot.
Sure.
When you're talking about five teams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And listen, if you go through the AFC, there's, you know, and we're going to get to this in April. I want to spend a lot of time breaking down the divisions and the better players. And I got a lot of questions for you on the draft. Who's going where? Detroit, you know, I think Detroit to me is one of the most fascinating ones. Carolina's picking six. Does Carolina go for a quarterback who's up in the air, you know, or do they go get somebody and try to build around a Sam Darnold or another lesser quarterback? You know, I think that the Panthers are in a very interesting spot right now.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah, you know, it is a bad spot.
Right now, you have nothing to lose with building around Sam Darnold.
Okay.
If you're the Panthers, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because if it works, so be it. If it doesn't work, so be it. He's gone anyway.
Right.
Okay. Here's the thing. Matt Rhule is probably gone also.
Yeah, Matt Rhule's coming up on year four, and if he doesn't, this team doesn't significantly do better, I would agree with you. I think this is Matt Rhule's, you know.
Okay. But now you also gave Matt Rhule Sam Darnold in year three and four. Now, it's not his fault that Sam Darnold is getting $18 million.
Well, I think Matt Rhule has total control over the roster, though.
Well, then he has to pay. But you
right.
know what? I can't see Matt Rhule being able to have the permission to make trades.
I almost think he's one of the few guys out there who has the ability to buy the groceries, as they call it. I'm almost positive. I'd have to look at that. But, you know, right now, yeah, I think his career almost – but, you know, if you're them, you know, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, you know, they're long shots at best, you know, and you're picking number six. If you want one of those guys, you're probably going to have to grab them right there. You're not going to get them later. Or do you go after one of the one of the bigger offensive tackles and plug them in there and create a decent team around a – and then if it's not Donald, it's, you know, Andy Dalton next year or some other maybe half-ass quarterback, you know, who can play a little bit, Jacoby Brissett or Baker Mayfield. It's an interesting offseason. To me, they got to trade for Baker Mayfield and draft an offensive lineman and try to build it that way.
Does Baker Mayfield want to go to these places too? You know what
I don't
mean?
I don't think he has a choice. The problem is I don't know if they can afford to have Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold has a fully guaranteed deal.
Yeah. Oh, amazing money too.
Craziness, yeah. So it's, you know, there's a lot to talk about. You know, there's a few teams that are in positions like that, Jeff, who have picks. You know, Detroit, you know, there's a team that needs a lot of stuff. You know, do they draft a quarterback? They got Goff. Do they try to draft a quarterback? Do they build a team around them? You know, that's an interesting team.
Yeah. Well,
so
it's, you know, unbelievable. Goff, they got Goff. It was just Super Bowl 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now they just cast him aside, send him to Detroit, like quarterback hell.
Yeah.
You know, who knows, man? It's
– yeah.
I don't know, Tom. I don't know.
A lot of fun. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of fun breaking it down for in April, so stick around for that, guys. Hey, Jeff, I do want to get to some music stuff, and I want to get – the first thing I got to bring up is Taylor Hawkins, who I don't want to use the word passed away because, boy, passed away is just somebody had a heart attack and died, but – you know, here's my thing. First off, I'm not a fan of his work. I'm not saying he's a great drummer. He absolutely was a great drummer. Big fan of bands like Rush. You know, so but I have a hard time, Jeff, having a lot of sympathy when I find out a guy sitting in a hotel room with 10 different substances in his body, and dies from it. And I feel terrible for his family. But I see all this outpouring and people talking about how a shining light and he walked into the rooms and the guy had 10 different substances in his body.
Yeah, it wasn't a good thing, man, was it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, he's, you know, the guy's been some, you know, he was in Nirvana, he's in Foo Fighters, obviously, he was in Alanis Morissette's band,
Well, he wasn't in Nirvana.
Wasn't in Nirvana. Which one of his grunge bands was he in? Was he in one of them?
He was a. I don't know where else he started. Well, that was Dave Grohl that was in Nirvana.
Right, right. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm thinking that's right.
Dave Grohl that was in Nirvana.
He
was in Alanis Morissette.
Yes, he was definitely in. He was in another decent sized band. I'm trying to think which.
I don't know.
But again, I'm not a huge Foo Fighters fan, so I'm not that I'm running around listening to his music. I'm obviously not a big Alanis Morissette fan. But again, I have a hard time sitting there saying the guy was a bright and shining light. The guy, it's a terrible thing. The guy did it to himself. I don't have a lot of sympathy for it. I certainly didn't wish him to die, and I feel terrible for his family. They have three kids behind. So, but what's your thoughts on all of that?
Pretty much the same as you. You know, it's one thing to me if a guy is smoking weed and then they find weed in his room. And,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing. And I just don't see the point of some of the drugs and substances that he had. You know, this is a 50-year-old man. That's sooner or later, you got to think that every time I do something, I'm weakening myself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, it didn't work out. And every time that you've seen this guy, he didn't look like he was clean anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, at least. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it seemed like he's been fighting substances for years. And, you know, I I don't know what he's like on the road. I don't know if anybody paid attention. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they knew and didn't care.
Oh, Angel, come on.
I'm just saying, Jeff, I have no idea. I wasn't on the road with the band. I have no idea what was happening. So I can't speak to it. But I just have to tell you that, you know, while I certainly say, okay, people like Elton John, you know, talking about this guy. Paul McCartney was talking about this guy. And I get it. You know, but everybody says, oh, he's the sweetest guy. He's nice. Dude, he's in a hotel room in another country with shooting things in his body that just shouldn't have been. As a 50-year-old married man with three kids, I'm sorry, I just don't have the patience for it.
Yeah, well, you know what? You got to look at it this way, Tom. Okay?
Yep.
You got Paul McCartney saying things about him and all of these other guys that are talking about him and bringing him up and everything else. That is the sad state of music today as we know it.
Yes.
Okay, if you listen to the Foo Fighters,
mm-hmm.
they started off primarily as a kind of a grungy, definitely harder than radio rock,
uh-huh.
I would say.
Yeah.
But now that they're doing kind of like, you know, like top 40 radio hits, like
mm-hmm.
for people our age, I guess.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I just think that Dave Grohl is, I don't know. He's everywhere. Like every time you turn around, there he was.
No, I say I hate Dave Grohl, and it ain't his fault because he just. But everywhere heavy metal was, it was to accept the heavy metal award for being heavy metal jerk off. It's Dave Grohl. You know, here's to present the jerk offs into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's Dave Grohl. You know, I didn't understand how sudden Dave Grohl became the king of metal.
Yeah, my daughter was texting me her flight home got canceled.
Oh, where's your daughter?
In Las Vegas or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, great. Great.
Yes,
people may say to me that, you know, you seem like a miserable motherfucker. And I am, but it's because of other people. And I'm not going to get into it here, but you go to Vegas, sweetie, and you have a great time. Hopefully you want a little money, fun and everything else, but don't cross the highway, whatever you do. That's all I'm going to say.
What's going on with the house? I haven't heard it. Is the house still on the market? Have you guys decided to pull the house off?
No. We talked to the, not real estate agent, the mortgage guy.
Okay.
And for what the houses are going for and the money we were putting down and the perfect storm that we were flying into, other going up.
Uh-huh.
The new house. A house that was going for around $630 a month with the money that we were putting down was going to end up costing us about $3,500 a month.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah. So right now we are in standby mode.
So are you going to drop some money into this house to get it to what you want or closer? Or are you going to try to hope that the market bottoms out, which would affect your house as well?
when the market bottoms out, it's going to fuck up our house as well.
That's the point. Yeah, you'll be on go. Yeah, so.
So, what the plan is I got to call up this place tomorrow. We're going to be buying a shed.
Okay.
One of those wooden sheds.
So, do you have a shed in your backyard already?
I do. It's a small aluminum shed with a bigger wooden shed.
Gotcha.
So that we could, we're going to put a lot of stuff in there, and we're going to empty the, not empty the house, but we're going to do some things to the house. We're going to